Podtacular episode 430, Lock and Load, for June 19th, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and this week we have two pretty esteemed guests this week, followed by one of our newly added staff members who was on before. First up, Godzilla Todd, welcome back.
Hello everybody, good to be back.
He's taking Brent's spot because we can't figure out how to get his new microphone to work. So hopefully he'll be on next week. Sorry, that's another week of Brent that you guys don't get of his nice, deep, sexy voice. But he will return very shortly. No worries about it. And I'm pretty sure he's in the chat, so give him a shout-out if you're listening to us live. We also have two people that were with me during the E3 experience. That was completely and totally awesome. First off, Green Skull, welcome back.
Hi.
Hello. How was your trip back to Canada?
So, I don't think Canada. I told you this, but it's kind of funny. Who was it? Mark from Guardian Radio. He said he's going on about how the day he went home, he's like really sick. I caught something. When we were doing that last podcast at your place, I was hurting. I was like, man, I'm feeling sick, man. It wasn't good. So I had to I emptied my stomach in Eli's toilet. You're welcome, sir.
What?
Then, yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
I didn't even know,
it was stealth,
dude.
Man. I know it was stealth. And then I was like, oh, dude, like that helped. But I had to like walk through lines and customs. And I was just like,
oh my God.
Man. And it was bad, but it was
the alcohol.
Probably,
yeah.
Oh, man.
No, it wasn't. Like, it was just like, it was like buggy. Like, it was just bad.
Oh.
Yeah. We're good, though.
I'm
survived.
Sorry,
I mean,
dude.
It could have happened during E3, but it didn't. So that's good.
So that's why you left your headsets on my coffee table.
Yeah, because I just grabbed stuff and left.
Yeah, okay, this makes more sense now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. I wouldn't have put you through a podcast on the last night if I knew that you were feeling that horrible.
Ah, dude, it didn't even like hit me till the podcast.
Oh, okay.
We were all passing out anyways. That's why we couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're
someone
done
said
with
in the stream,
E3.
It sounded like we were sick and tired. We were definitely tired. Everybody was tired.
But Green Skull was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I legitimately was. It was good.
Well, that's good that you're feeling a lot better now.
Yeah. No, Eli's toilet saved me. I was so lucky. I was like, man, I know. Like, something's got to come out if I'm going to survive this. And, like, it happened. I like, forced myself to by, like, standing up and, like, tilting my head to the side. I'm like, this is a weird angle.
There went all the pancakes from Santa Monica.
Oh, gosh.
It tasted quite bacony. So, I mean, it was just as good coming up as it was going down.
There we go. We're gonna leave that story where it is. And the other voice that you're hearing right now is Naked Eli from the Naked Halo YouTube channel.
What's going on, everybody?
Or the former Naked Halo YouTube channel.
Exactly. Naked Eli's dad.
Have you posted that vlog?
I did, actually.
Oh, cool. Very nice.
Yeah, I don't remember when, but I did it.
There were some pretty funny comments. I mean, so honestly, just by your angle, I didn't realize how wide angle your camera was.
You were in the whole video,
dude. I thought I was completely off screen, except occasionally, because Dust would sometimes twist the camera. I'm like, oh, that's when he can see me. And that's when I would, like, talk and, like, smile and stuff. And then other than that, I'm, like, just staring off, watching the TV, and just listening and, like, nodding
my
head.
People are like, man, Green Skull looks bored of this.
Like, Green Skull's so bored. It's like, is Green Skull drunk? And then, of course, a plethora of comments there and on Twitter that were like, Green Skull looks like pre-op Captain America.
I got that
everywhere. There were so many of those.
Wow.
Yeah. The before and after all in the same shot.
Yeah.
I'll need to go catch up on that video then. Did you actually cut it or did you just do the one full take?
For the most part, it was a full take. I cut out like when the server would come in and randomly interrupts, like when the guy comes up and he's like, dude, I love your camera. He's like watching you filming me.
I wish you kept
that was
it.
Totally
he's
random.
Like, oh, I thought he was just going to say that and then walk away, but he kept asking.
I know.
He was like watching the video as we were recording it. And you were
I totally would have left it in if he said one sentence and walked away, but he wanted to have a whole conversation about like, man, so you like the Samsung S4, the Samsung S5? Like, look at that background. It's light, but it's dark. I was like, oh my God. I'm cutting this whole thing.
And that wasn't our actual waiter, was it? It was someone else that brought out drinks.
No, that was our waiter. It was a server, a food server. Yeah,
but it wasn't our waiter. It was a server.
No, our waiter was cool, dude. The dude with the tats.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
I was certain it was the exact same guy. I was certain we never.
No, I was pretty sure it was a different guy.
Nah, dude, totally different guy.
Obviously, I was spaced out then.
Yeah, drunk on that one glass of beer.
We were drunk on E3, or at least me and Dan were.
I've never been drunk.
George being an E3 veteran over here, showing us the ropes.
Yeah, cool. Never have I ever been drunk. All you need to drink now.
I've been drunk only once, so I think I've told that story before on here.
Don't get me started on this one.
Yeah, we know, Green Skull. You like to party.
Man, I'm hammied right now. I woke up and had a couple shots of tequila.
Woo! Oh, boy. This is going to be a very energetic podcast, I can tell. So from what we heard last week, we talked about the Master Chief Collection a little bit with Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4 coming back, Halo Nightfall, and the Halo 5 beta. If you listened to episode 428, then you got to hear all about that with Naked Eli and someone else that we got to talk with and meet up with, which was pretty cool. Goes by the name of Shane, H2O, shoot, I forget what it is.
He was one of the OG 14 people who stayed at the end of Halo 2 online.
H2O Shaggy. S-H-O-A-G-I-E. He's part of that's the guy side of the PMS clan, the H2O clan. Like Eli said, he was one of the 14 that that stayed on Halo 2 until Bungie had to close the servers down. Not the Xbox Live servers, but the Halo 2 servers. So it was cool to hang out with him during the week. And correction, this is actually episode 427 you want to go listen to. That's where we talk about the Master Chief Collection and everything that's coming in that. But we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about Halo 5 and what we got to see from the teaser during the Xbox media briefing and talk about some of the Halo 5 beta stuff that we'll get to see coming in December. So I wanted to take the time to talk about that. And since Green Skull and Naked Eli were there with me at E3 and we talked about it a little bit, I thought it would be a good idea to have them back on the show to have this little discussion. And since Brent isn't around, get Godzilla Todd, because he was able to see it from a distance, so to get the outside perspective of what was going on during the Halo presentation and everything that went on at E3, I thought would be a good idea to have on as well. So let's talk about the teaser. Opening the presentation of the Xbox portion for the Halo stuff, we had this teaser. It was kind of the Halo 2 cinematic that's been redone. Showing Master Chief taking the Covenant bomb back to the Covenant carrier. But instead of it being actual cinematics, it looks more like it's a holographic projection after a little while. And we learn that the mysterious Spartan is named Agent Locke.
His name is John Locke. And you think he's a good guy at the beginning, but he turns out to kind of be a bad guy. And it's all kind of confusing, and you don't know if it's real life or they're in limbo, and then, you know, they try to go back to the island and things like that.
And then Green Skull makes a video, and then all these people get mad and ragey in the comments.
You know, that's just kind of the way life goes around the Halo universe, isn't it? Stuff happens, and you post videos, and then people just go crazy.
Yeah, Green Skull, you're stupid. Yeah. That was half the comments. Green Skull, none of that's ever going to happen.
Everybody's afraid to share their opinion.
No, my favorite comments in that video are, no way! I wouldn't have an emotional reaction to killing Chief. I could never do it. Never. You suck. F you. Get off YouTube. Like, dude, you just proved my point. That's the point I was making, man.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to see some of the rage comments there. But in all seriousness, though, Green Skull brought up a lot of good points. And we had the podcast about a month ago when they initially announced Halo 5 Guardians about this mysterious Spartan, and it looks like, from what we saw in the teaser, he is not necessarily going off to kill Chief, but to kind of just figure out where he's going and what he's up to.
Indeed. So, or capture him, or essentially, well, the word we can use is stop him.
Right.
Because that is his goal moving forward, is that Chief knows something or is interacting with someone or is doing something that is a threat to all humanity, and Agent Locke is sent to stop him. From UNSC's point of view, that is. And while Chief is certain that what he is doing is right and is good, the other guys, UNSC, don't think so.
Right. And the whole teaser was taken from the perspective of Agent Locke and the Arbiter. And it was really cool to see the Arbiter basically narrating the whole thing. So for people that Haven't seen the teaser yet. First of all, you should. It's on the Xbox channel, and we posted it up on their blog. And second, I wanted to go ahead and read what he said during the whole thing, the entire transcript of what the arbiter said, and kind of start off the discussions there. So he said, to find him, you have to forget the stories, forget the legends. You have to do more than walk in his footsteps, for he is more than the sum of his actions. I tell you this not only because I trust you, Agent Locke, but because all of our lives are at stake, because the seeds of our future are sown in his past.
I usually use a pretty deep seeds stuff. Of our future kind of comment when I'm hitting up Eli's mom.
Oh, is that how okay. I got a little sister?
This is a family-friendly show, by the way.
This is all about family, and
Greenskull signed the document, and that's how I got a little sister.
You know, when a man and a woman love each other dearly.
She's 10, though, so you must have been 12 at the time?
At the time, yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah. Dang. Greenskull hit puberty really, really early on.
Man, I still haven't hit puberty. Look at me.
So let's take this quote and kind of dissect it a little bit. The first sentence he says, to find him, you have to forget the stories and forget the legends. So basically, ignore all the big important things that everyone praises the chief for and push those to the side. Kind of get rid of this holy veil that has been portrayed on Master Chief. And that's the only way you're going to be able to figure out where he's going and what his intentions are. What do you guys
think? Because they're more negative than we are built up to believe. There's bad things afoot.
Or they're saying that in the past, Chief has always followed directions. Chief has always done what's best for the UNSC. And for the first time ever, well, maybe not ever, but, you know, he's now truly defying the UNSC that he has always cherished and always loved. So don't even look at his past, because it will give you no information about his true intentions.
I would say, actually, he's been quite defiant for quite a few times, at least, in terms of, I mean, I wouldn't say, you said best for UNSC, I would say best for humanity, usually.
But that's usually fine within the purview of the UNSC, where it's been, you're on this mission. At first it was to fight the insurrection, but then it was to fight the Covenant. And it just kind of happened where he fell into the situation where he was in Halo 4, and now there's a little bit more of recognition of trying to figure out who he actually is, and I think there's still some influence of Dr. Halsey's journey to improve humanity outside of what the UNSC and ONI think. So I think he's trying to make this journey for himself to discover who he is and what his intentions are.
True that.
And that's where we see the break off from what he's doing with the UNSC. And I think that's why ONI is searching for him, because Master Chief's a loose cannon. We have no idea what he's going to do. And there's been so much placed on him with humanity that we need to figure out what's going on, or else everything that we've built up so far can be instantly decimated.
So this is what I was getting at when, you know, I obviously and intentionally, because it worked, took it to the extreme of killing Master Chief kind of thing. It's really difficult to me imagine for me to imagine that this story we're talking about right now, that we're building up to, that we're in search of him, we got to stop him from something, that it's not going to end in a fight, that Master Chief's just going to be like, "You're right," and just go back to the UNSC. Like, no way. There's something, not necessarily this game, but in the future games, that's going to be more than just, okay, you were right. We'll stop you, Master Chief. Master Chief's either going to go insane, according to UNSC, right, where he's certain that, yes, you know, if you were told you have to do, you know, you have to do this thing, flip this switch to save the world, but everyone else thinks you flip the switch and destroys the world, you're not just going to turn over lightly, right? Like, something is going to go down. There's going to be some huge conflict.
And there's a lot of things that goes on between Halo 4 and Halo 5, and hopefully Nightfall will help fill in some of the gaps, even though Nightfall is mostly geared towards Agent Locke at this point.
Well, even though they did actually say Nightfall, that Master Chief still is essentially the hero of the story of Nightfall. So apparently he will be talked about quite a bit in Nightfall.
But the thing I'm curious about is how much we're going to see of Chief's quote-unquote development as his own character without Cortana in Nightfall, because we can see him as being the main hero and trying to go out and figure out what he's going to do. But where is it going to account for what the Librarian did to him in Halo 4? What is the impact of him psychologically without Cortana there? all these pieces kind of really fit into this bigger puzzle that we really don't have much information on. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that fits into Halo 5. And I know we're going to get a lot more information with Escalation, but and then Nightfall is going to reveal a lot more. And I'm hoping that's when we're going to see the effects that immediately follow from Halo 4 of Chief kind of realizing that he does have this emotional side that he has without Cortana there.
Well, clearly he's searching for Cortana if the Halo 5 trailer was indication of anything last year. And the big old thing that comes up out the ground has pretty much been confirmed as Mendicant Bias, right? Who, if you haven't read the books or followed the story, was an AI 100,000 years ago that turned against the Forerunners and actually worked with the Flood to take down all sentient life. And only after they created a new AI called Offensive, Offensive Bias, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he defeated Mendicant Bias in this gigantic space battle. And only then were the pieces of Mendicant Bias saved and stored in High Charity, which gave all the information to the prophets in the first Halo trilogy, right? He was sort of that driving force behind the Prophet of Truth. And so now Mendicant Bias seems to come in a physical form, and he is completely, you know, he's apologized numerous times for the pain and suffering he caused the Forerunners, which are the descendants of humanity. And I think that Mendicant Bias wants to help Chief find Cortana at all costs. And I don't know why. I'm curious. Do you guys know why that might be against UNSC protocol? Do they have other missions for Chief that they don't want him spending his time looking for an AI that they consider already lost?
I think it's a lot more, not necessarily about they want him to do something else, but judging by just all these little quotes we hear and all this, you know, teased information we see about Halo 5, that Master Chief legitimately is about to do something, or he has a partner in crime like Cortana or someone that is about to do something that's really, really, really bad, like almost like equivalent of activating the Halo rings, right? Because, I mean, let's start at the beginning of Halo CE, right? They're like, oh, we've got to do this kind of thing. And it's like, no, wait, this will blow up everything. You know what I mean? Like, something they're so certain of doing that it's just going to just destroy everything and just ruin humanity, that they're certain that this is what they got to do. And UNSC, I think, or Locke in particular, is got to make this not happen.
I don't know. I think it's more subtle than that. I think just having Chief not under UNSC control is, and possibly Cortana not under UNSC control, is the catastrophe. Like, Cortana is arguably the most advanced weapon that humanity has. And Chief is, you know, the most advanced physical form that they have. So they've just lost, like, think about it as two giant nukes that can take out a planet, right? Like, these are two of the most coveted things that the UNSC quote-unquote owns, and now they don't own them anymore, and they're worried what might happen to them.
I have a feeling it's something to do with Chief's story with the Forerunners past. I want to say there's going to be some tie to the Librarian, even though we haven't seen too much of it, but there's a lot of questions still behind what the Librarian did to Chief, other than just make him immune to the Composer. But also, what did she do to Cortana? We have no idea what happened during the time that he was with the Librarian. And the Librarian could have done anything to her Cortana to maybe upload her to the domain or maybe fix part of her rampancy. So she could come back in another form like that. And there's a bunch of other variables that you have to take into account of. I think this Agent Locke thing is definitely one side of the puzzle that will help introduce us into this bigger story that Chief is going on with his next big journey. I mean, we've heard over and over again that this new Halo journey is going to be all about Chief finding his way within the next few games that they're going to come out with for Halo. So what is that journey, I think, is going to be the starting point of where Agent Locke starts to really dive into where Chief is going, what Chief has done in his past, where do all these ties end up? And I think that's what they're trying to figure out, is where is Chief going with all this? And is that thing a threat to humanity as we perceive it? Because it could be something where humanity is set on this evolutionary path that the Forerunners have laid out, because the humanity is the descendants of the Forerunners, and the Librarian has this intricate plan for humanity to take back the mantle and get access to the domain. So maybe this one thing that Oni and the UNSC are afraid of is that Chief is trying to go and achieve this for humanity, and Oni and the UNSC are like, whoa, not so fast, Chief.
Probably because they want to be able to control that information.
Right, they want to do it from from an agency perspective. They don't want to have like one person, maybe the chief, be the entry into this new era of humanity. They want to be in control of it. It's freaking Oni for crying out loud. They want to be in control of everything.
I think it's pretty safe to say that in the next three games, and I mean, we already see it as such, we're going to start in game seeing Oni and seeing UNSC as a lot more of an evil entity. I really think we're going to start disliking them a lot more, like these shady whatever things do. I mean, just look at Agent Locke, man. Like, listen to the music that's played while he's talking in that E3 collection trailer. Like, it's like a very dark version of the Halo theme. Like, he's an ominous dude.
Well, that's the Arbiter speaking. That's not
Agent Locke. I'm just saying, but look at him. I'm not speaking, I'm talking voice. I'm talking about the music, and just look at him. Like, it's even from the first thing we saw of him. Like, it's we're going to start seeing... we've always not liked Oni, right? Like, for the most part. I mean, even the beginning of Halo 4, like, how that dude's, like, quizzing Halsey and, like, being just a big tool about it. We're really not gonna like them moving forward.
Well, then if you look at the Kilo 5 trilogy, you see how much we hate Oni then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, so.
All the backstabbing and causing civil war amongst the Covenant is just like, whoa, what are you doing?
Well, there's that piece, but then there's also Osman, who's taking over from Perrin Goski, and she's actually a very likable character, so it's also possible that we could start to see a new type of Oni, and maybe see a split within Oni between the ones who are doing the old evil things and Osman, who actually has a conscience and actually has ties to the Chief and, you know, is a Spartan herself and wants Chief to, you know, survive. Like, I see that conflict there would be very interesting to explore in the coming Halo games.
I don't know. I think she has some very adverse feelings from the Spartan program because she was one of the failed Spartans and having all the physical defects from Halsey's treatments. While she was part of the program, she's not officially a Spartan.
Right, but she still respects Spartans and feels for them. Like, sorry, what's the Spartan? The female Spartan's name? Naomi, right? And she, she totally loves Naomi and just wants to be there for her and almost be like a motherly figure and take care of her. And I think she might feel the same toward Chief.
Yeah, I think all of her animosity was directed towards Halsey.
Yeah.
You know, she holds Halsey responsible for, you know, all the things that happened to her. And then, you know, she sees Perrin Goski as more of her mother figure because, you know, she rescued her, put her back together, you know, and gave her a place in the UNSC. As far as Agent Locke, you know, I remember hearing something about Nightfall about Marlowe expressing dissatisfaction with the way things were running.
Marlowe isn't a character in Nightfall. I know. It's Agent Locke.
It's Agent Locke. It's just Agent Locke.
Yeah.
He was having troubles with some of the things the UNSC was doing as far as a personal battle within himself. You know, some of the things that they were asking him to do, he had problems with justifying it with his own conscience. Let's put it that way. So
you think that he isn't going to be like the stone cold killer that he was portrayed as?
I don't know. What I'm thinking, and this is just one possibility, is that, you know, Oni sets him on this mission. And through his efforts to find the Chief, he learns more about the Chief.
A lot of the learning that's going on is fruit. I mean, we see the hologram projections of him going through Chief's history and him talking with the Arbiter. So it already looks he's going through the history of Chief. I think from the standpoint of trying to figure out what he's doing, though, that's going to be part of the journey that's there on. Because like the Arbiter said, you have to forget the stories, you have to forget the legends, you have to forget what he did in the past in order to figure out what he's going to go do.
Well, continuing on what Todd's saying here, I don't know if you're going the same way I am here with what you're saying there, Todd, that I think there's essentially two ways that this is going to go, right? Either Locke is going to be a super antagonist to Master Chief and essentially like end up fighting him, end up capturing him, doing something like that, or B, he learns of something Master Chief has found and what Master Chief's up to and totally sides with Master Chief and realizes that the people who's with, who Oni and UNSC, are the ones that are wrong. There's really only two directions it can go.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was looking at it. Because, you know, with what the Arbiter said in the trailer, you know, he said you need to look, you know, you look past that. Well, maybe he's saying look past all the hype, all the official reports, which were undoubtedly modified by Oni.
Look past UNSC's footage. You look past what they're censoring. Look past the old stuff and look at what he's up to now.
Right? Yeah, because any military, it doesn't really matter where you are, they're going to censor the footage to make it look good for them.
That makes me excited that hopefully we'll see this in Halo 2 Anniversary. I would love to see something, because as you can tell, they are these remastered cutscenes with Age of Locke, right? So we know what the cutscenes are. We're familiar with them. What if we do see this cutscene that we all know so well have parts missing, have parts blacked out, have parts blurred, right? I totally see that happening. And the whole time we go, wait, we know what's supposed to be there, but it's not there.
I don't think they would do that from the standpoint that they want people that didn't play the games before to experience Halo 2.
But there's very small things that everyone, it would seem insignificant, right? Like if there's a blur over what Master Chief's holding or something like that, right? That it probably wouldn't even matter. Like I could see them pulling it off and not compromising the integrity of the actual footage.
I would side with Dust on this one. Yeah, I don't think it would work for new players to the Halo 2 Anniversary experience, but I could see that happening maybe in the terminals, which are brand new for Halo 2, that they could totally put in modified content of some sort or just completely new content regarding the future of Halo.
Yeah, but look at this.
I think that's where they're going to put the new content, because you don't want to interrupt the flow of the original cutscenes, because you can't go back between the old cutscenes and the new ones.
They already are, is the thing. So here's what I'm getting at. Why?
Well, no, they're just remastering him. Like you can play Halo 2 through the old way through a campaign. You still go through the in-game cutscenes and everything. Everything is still there.
But we're already seeing. So these cutscenes are like we see here, where we see him looking at the hologram stuff. They're already compromised from the original version. They're already different. There's already little bits and pieces we won't fully see as they originally were. So I don't think it's that out of the question to make minor changes, because we're already seeing him pull out. And then, like, they're going to cut away a few seconds because we're going to see it. You know, we're going to look at Marlo's visor, or Agent Locke's visor kind of thing. So I don't think it's not as already perfect as they already were, as you seem to be interpreting them as.
I can see them altering the cutscene, but I don't think they'll cut out pieces of the cutscene. I can see them modifying, but not completely cutting out sections.
Well, I mean,
that's not exactly
original,
what I meant, but whatever.
The original cutscene where he gets, he does the bomb, they did alter. But I think they altered it just for the trailer. I don't think when they actually do the cutscene for the game that they will alter it from the original. Now, the part where they said they have a new prologue and epilogue to the game, that will be interesting to see what they do with that. Because that's supposed to hint directly towards Halo 5.
And the terminals are supposed to as well. And I believe that's where we're going to see the Halo 5 content be put into Halo 2, is through the terminals and through the prologue and epilogue. Other than maybe tweaking how
look. I thought it was already confirmed that every one of the new remastered ones we will see similar to that style, where we'll see it and then we'll see Locke and we'll see him looking at the hologram stuff. I thought they already essentially confirmed that.
Confirm that Locke is in the terminals
that,
for sure?
Yeah, that all of the Halo 2 remastered terminals are just like this version we saw, where Locke is watching the holograms of Master Chief.
Yeah, terminals.
Well, yeah, in
but
the terminals,
the
yeah, but.
I mean,
we're
not the terminals.
The
I mean, sorry, I meant to say the cutscenes. I'm
they
almost
have
certain
not said
they confirmed that. Okay. I'll look this up while we continue discussing that.
I've heard some people rumor that, but I've never heard any confirmed statement from 343 that they altered the cutscenes, because, they're pretty adamant that Halo 2 is exactly that. It's Halo 2. The only thing they did is go in and remaster them to bring the graphics up to current gen. They're still stacking two engines, the new graphics engine over the original gameplay engine. Everything I've heard, they're pushing that it is just like playing Halo 2 back in the day, except with the upgraded sound and upgraded graphics.
Slight modifications include no super bouncing. That was confirmed. And what was the other thing?
Was that not only confirmed for the new maps, though? Because they explained the reason it wouldn't work would be because of polygon changes. And the only place polygon changes will happen are in the remastered maps, not the originals.
Right. So the glitches will not work on any of the remastered ones, but the old ones up to where they were for the latest patch, the latest version of Halo 2, those glitches still work. But for the 6 remade maps, which Ascension is one of them, they will not work because those are completely remade. And those are used from different parts of the engine, from the Halo 4 engine, from the Halo 2 engine, and all that stuff.
But the original maps are still on the disc. I mean, the unremastered ones, right?
No, Ascension is Halo 2 Anniversary Ascension. That's the only copy of Ascension that you get.
Are you sure?
Yes, I talked to Bravo.
Really? Okay. Yes. Did they confuse that one up then in their explanation? Because they even showed pictures of the old one, like as though we also.
No, had that was when you press the button and it swaps into.
No, but you can't do that graphics. In multiplayer. Like they showed the old school multiplayer screenshots too.
I thought that was
just
from
a side by side comparison. That was not from the same engine.
Ah, man, that's really disappointing.
Yeah. I thought you could switch to old time mode, like in multiplayer too.
Not in multiplayer, no.
No, just in campaign. Just in the campaign.
Oh.
See, folks, there's only questions left and right here. Yeah, it's only six of them. But it's going to be six where maybe they were super bouncing. Like if Zanzibar was one of the six remade, you're not going to be able to do that super bounce.
That's so strange to me. I feel like we should still keep an open mind regarding that because it would be very odd to me to not also include the old ones. Considering if you look at the screenshots of like the map selection screens, they show like Halo 2, Ascension Anniversary Edition. So I don't know why they wouldn't also have the old version. That's really weird to me.
Mm.
I feel like
they
a lot of people
put
so
games
easy
on the disc, they ran out of disc space.
Six maps? Like, come on.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not a disc space issue. I think it's just an anniversary treatment that they're doing for
six
maps.
I guess,
for
that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I asked, and that's what he said, was that there's the classic maps will have everything that you know and love from the original game up to the latest patch, and then there's going to be the six anniversary maps, which are based off of a combination of the engines, and those will not necessarily have those glitches in there.
They replace the original maps in the game.
Pretty much.
Why wouldn't they just redo all the maps?
Because obviously,
you know how much time that would take.
Well, I think part of it was they wanted to, preserve, you know, how everybody wanted. They wanted Halo 2 back. They wanted the button glitches. They wanted the super bounces. You know, they wanted all of it.
So all the button glitches are still there. Everything from the controller schemes, those glitches are still there, regardless of Halo 2 Anniversary or Halo Classic.
But Todd, that's exactly why I'm saying that it's so weird that, like, I totally agree with you that why would they have this vision of preserving and then not also include the six, insanely small data maps, right? It's crazy to me to assume they only bring the remastered ones in.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you confirmed that specifically, Dust, that, like, these six remastered maps definitely 100% will not have the old versions on the disc ever. Or if it's just these will be six new additions and everything all the questions you asked apply to these maps only.
Like, no matter what Bravo said, if this was a bet right now, I'm putting all my chips into the old ones are still there. Like, it just makes too much sense to me.
Okay, the way I understood it from talking with him, because I had him clarify it for me, was that there's the six anniversary maps and then there's the classic. Maybe I misunderstood and that all of the classic maps are there, but from what I talked with him about, it seemed like the rest of the classic ones are there, and then there's the six remakes. So I'll see if I can clarify that, but that's...
But that would be us then. Yeah, then all the classics are there, including six remakes. It's like remakes, again, it's just looking at that menu that says, Ascension Anniversary Edition. That's probably also Ascension, not Anniversary.
I'll go back and listen to the recording, but...
Okay. We'll see, I guess.
I forgot how we got on this tangent in the first place.
I have no idea. Lost that one.
Because we were talking about Locke, and then that started tying into the Halo 2 content.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah,
that makes sense.
But yeah, like I said, from what I've heard, the epilogue and prologue is the only modification as far as the cutscenes in Halo 2. The original cutscenes, from what I understand, are supposed to be totally original, just remastered.
No, the originals are up-resed for the classic, but the cutscenes for Halo 2 Anniversary.
Well, no. What Todd means is that there is no like pulling out to look at Locke or anything like I suggested.
Right, I think that would be just the terminals, but going off of what you said, though, it would be interesting to see if they left certain pieces out of the cutscenes, just not like cut pieces out, but maybe a few things in the background aren't there.
Yeah, well, that would only be going on the assumption that I thought, that I originally interpreted, that like the new version of the cutscenes would be a lot more tied into Halo 5 than obviously maybe will happen. Because my original, when I heard about this and thought about this, and I'm like, it'd be really cool if every of the new cutscenes were like that trailer, where we get the gist of it. We see everything you need to see, and then it'll be like, bff, bff, and kind of buzz out, and we'll see Locke like looking his head down or whatever, next level. Done, right? Like, it wouldn't even need to change anything about the cutscene to show that it is Locke watching a hologram, right? So.
Yeah. Anyways, next little phrase that we have the Arbiter say, which we haven't even gotten to yet. He says, you have to do more than just walk in his footsteps, for he is more than the sum of his actions. That last piece kind of gets me a little bit, saying that he's a bigger man than all the stuff that he's done in the past. He has a lot more influence on what he can do than what the past has shown him to do, which is kind of cool to see them really bring out how important Chief is to a universe, and really kind of reflects on how much of this journey that we're going to be going on with the Chief is important to the franchise going there on. To say that, yes, Chief is still a very important figure is kind of a good relief, I think, for people, knowing that Chief is going to be here for a good while longer. We're going to see him go down this path, go down this journey to see where he's going. And Agent Locke is going to track him and maybe there for the ride. We don't know. It may be something that we'll have to wait until Nightfall to come to get more information behind that. Or maybe we have to wait till Halo 5.
Man, you looked into that way more than I did. I just heard it as a generic philosophical statement. Like, mm-hmm. Chief is more than the sum of his parts. Like, yeah, duh. That's
I agree that it. I think it just goes along with everything else that said there, right? That, like, look, Chief is important. Carry on.
But doesn't the Arbiter always have, like, very intentional things to say behind his words? I don't think he would say something just like that generically.
Yeah, there's always thought behind, you know, a statement that the Arbiter says. You know, even from the stuff that's in the books and in the previous games too, when they were writing his lines, there always seemed to be a little bit of forethought before he made the statement as far as, you know, what was actually said. Again, I think that is leading towards, I mean, if he's not an antagonist, that maybe he's there to help Chief, to, you know, learn more about Chief's personality and to see the journey he's going on wherever he's going with that chip.
But right now, we don't know whether he's going to be an antagonist or end up being a ally protagonist down the road. That's something that right now it seems like he's going to be more of an antagonist trying to go and find Chief and stop him at all costs.
Mm-hmm. That's at least a start
down the road. Yeah, that's at least a start. And we'll see, like Green Skull said, it's going to be one of those two options. Either he's going to be there to stop Master Chief, whatever he's going to do, or I don't know, it may be the point where he's too late to stop Master Chief, or he's going to find out what Chief is really up to and maybe understand why.
Or along
why.
The way, he'll realize that Chief is right and be right. Like, yo, UNSC, you guys are doing it wrong.
Wait, has anyone talked about
like the Arbiter?
It's
the UNSC version of the Arbiter.
Exactly.
Has anyone talked about how Halsey relates to all this? Because I feel like Chief was searching for Halsey in Halo 4 in order to aid Cortana, who I would argue is his now primary objective and has been for some time. And I don't know, it seems like they would be worried, since Halsey has kind of turned on them because they were jerks to her, that now Chief might team up with Halsey. And maybe Locke will come into this and play a factor in this, or, you know, he might try to convince Chief to not work with Halsey, or
would
maybe...
How cool would it be having a Halsey as your replacement for Cortana for a game? You know, like, ooh, like Demon Theory, right? Like, because it wouldn't be even that different, because it is Cortana.
The same,
you know,
voice actors.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be really cool, actually.
Like, all right, Chief, here's where you gotta go. Like, and Halsey has this master plan for him.
Yeah, and what if she controls him, like, but it's not to find Cortana, it's to kill Admiral Hood or something? Yeah, that would be sick. Then I would actually see her as a villain. Yeah, because the Kilo Fight trilogy didn't really sell me on her as a villain, and I know that in the end of Halo 4, she's totally portrayed as a villain, but, like, she still, in my opinion, hasn't really done anything that has ended with negative results for the UNSC.
Yes.
And I would love... Yeah, exactly. I would love to see how that plays out.
Guess I need to make a new video about this one.
I think the UNSC, or Oni more specifically, just doesn't like the kind of position that Halsey has been put in. And Perrin Goski took the one little thing that Halsey did wrong to blame it, to stick her basically into hell for the UNSC. And the fact that she's now with the Covenant, I think that leaves open a very, very large number of possibilities that you could take that story. And there's other loose ends to the Halo 4 storyline that can go into Halo 5 too. Like, what's going to happen with the Infinity and stuff that we saw in Spartan Ops? I mean, there's a whole nother story there that can be explored. And all these threads I don't know if they're going to all come up in Halo 5, but there's got to be some point in the Halo franchise where we're going to see these make a resurgence back in. Are we going to see things kind of go out into books or maybe go into side games or maybe do something like a Halo Wars 2 and then kind of come back into the story? How are all these different threads that got started in Halo 4 going to come back to the greater story in the universe? And I think Dr. Halsey is one of those threads that will probably play a little bit more influential piece in what Master Chief is doing in Halo 5, but I think we still don't have quite enough information to know what she's going to do from where we left off with Halo 4, because we have the two halves of the keys that are still being separated. And how are those going to play a part in coming back? Are we going to see those in the game? Like, there's a bunch of threads.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think the threads we have here are like lone Master Chief finding Mendicant Bias. We have Cortana, who I now think is paired with the Didact. Since she went through the Composer, she probably now has a physical form and is chilling with the Didact somewhere. And then I also think we have, yeah, the Halsey-Julem-Dama combo. And then we have the Arbiter working with the UNSC combo. So they can go, you know, in what, N to the fourth directions with that? I have no idea how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, there's a lot of different possibilities that you could take. I want to say that we have to see some piece of Spartanops, because Spartanops was basically a continuation of Halo 4's campaign. And to see how that might have an effect on the outcome or maybe the story of what Master Chief's going to be doing, I think that'd be really interesting. Or if we do see maybe a second season of Spartanops in Halo 5, how have that play into the story of Halo 5 with Master Chief and Agent Locke?
Also, do you think Osman is going to show up in Halo 5? Do you think Spartan Palmer is going to do something big in Halo 5? Like, is Admiral Hood going to, you know, Admiral Hood, is he going to, like, take a more prominent role in any of this? Like,
I don't know. It's hard to say, because how do you stuff all of that into one game?
I don't know.
That's the interesting piece that's kind of boggling my mind right now, because you have Master Chief's journey that they're focusing on with Halo 5. You have Agent Locke that's going to be going and tracking Chief, trying to find him, trying to figure out his intentions. But then you have the thread from the books, the multiple threads from Spartanops, where you have Dr. Halsey with the Covenant, and you have the UNSC Infinity doing its own thing. And then you have some of the stuff from the Kilo 5 team. I mean, and there's just a bunch of things that you have to take into account. It's like, what are you going to include in Halo 5? What different pieces of the story is going to make up this journey? And are there going to be something that we see some pieces get put into Halo 5, and then we have some more threads join up with Halo 6? Do we have side games that kind of help fill the time for those? How do
is
you
is the Flood coming back? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, is the Flood there?
I don't know.
I feel like at some point, like, as weird as it is, Halo is about the Flood. Like, although, honestly, at almost every point about Halo, it all comes back to the Flood. So it's kind of weird for me to assume we'd never see him again. I think that we're going to see him pretty soon, actually.
Yeah,
well, it's already been hinted at in the comics.
Yeah.
We were reminiscing about Halo 1, like the scene when you're, you know, in the 343 Guilty Spark, trapped downstairs, and oh so perfectly see this webcam with this new creature, and then the Flood pours in. It's like that was such an epic moment and such a huge plot twist in gaming history that, like, and then you learn that that's what the Halo rings were completely designed for, is to kill off the Flood, and caused, you know, the deaths of all the humanity, Forerunners, like, and Covenant, except for a handful 100,000 years ago. I was actually sad when they removed them from Halo 4, because, like you said, Green, like, that's such a huge part of Halo's identity. And if you've read the books and you understand, you know, how the precursors and all that came about, then, like, you want to learn more. You want to see more. Yeah, we didn't even mention the precursors. Like, what are they doing? Man. Are they going to come back? Like,
see, this is why I always struggle to think there's going to be a game in existence that will captivate me like Halo, when we can just go on and on, like, it is the Star Wars of video games, right? Like, it's an infinite storyline. There's so many interconnected parts that goes back forever, that goes forward forever, mm-hmm. that it's like, oh, I love it.
And to add too, two bro. More parts to it, what about the UNSC Spirit of Fire? That was brought back in the comics, and then we have the continuation of Palmer's story with Spartan Assault. How does that play into the future of Halo and Master Chief. Because we 343 took a lot of time to focus on Palmer's story. And now to have Agent Locke be thrown in here, it's weird to just kind of discard that story just when Halo 5 comes out. So how are we going to see Spartan Palmer's story continue on?
Is Here's what I hope.
Branch, or is it going to be something
Yeah, I hope that because I don't like Palmer, I hope that Locke turns into a good guy and kills Palmer. That's what I hope. And Palmer like tries to kill Chief, and then Locke comes in and he's like, no, Chief's a good guy. And then
yeah, Locke figures it out, saves him at the last second.
Yeah. He's sick.
And Britt just fell out of his chair.
I don't know. I think there's more to Sarah Palmer than has been portrayed from just her following orders. I think there is a part of her, like Chief, where it's more than just following command. I think she's a lot more privy to that and how she's been portrayed, but I do think there's a side of her that we have yet to see. And if 343 continues on with that storyline, which I hope they do, I think we'll see part of that maybe come back into the storyline for Halo going down the road. It's just to what extent I don't quite see how that's going with how 343 is focused on Master Chief's story and then brought in a new Spartan to be the next character or the antagonist, protagonist, whoever he ends up being for the main storyline for Halo 5.
Yo, what happened to Gabriel Thorne?
That too. That's another thread.
I think they've invested way too much time into Palmer just to, magically that she disappears. Whether she makes an appearance in the game or not, maybe in some cutscenes or something like that, or in a Spartan Ops Season 2. It's possible they just move her into the Keeper in the comics or in the books. I'd kind of like to see her come back into the games, especially with all the character development they've done with her, especially in this latest comic. I start to understand her a little bit better.
Well, and the interesting thing about Thorne, too, is you had a lot of time developing his character in Spartan Ops for Halo 4, and then he just kind of fell off the face of the universe for Halo 4. But he was a very loving character, and Halsey even came out and said that, I would essentially be proud to call you a Spartan. She was the only one that kind of really lightened up to him and respected him for who he was. I have to think that the story for him is going somewhere too. So again, all these loose threads, there can be so many ties into Halo, but where do these all go? I don't want to see just Locke be there for Halo 5. I want to see how the rest of the story that they've developed over this last year and a half for the Halo franchise ties into Master Chief's journey going from here on out.
See where all the pieces fit.
Yeah.
Because, all of it means something. It all relates to the story just as to where. I was thinking, why would they be chasing the Master Chief? And then it popped in my head, the Janus key. Maybe he's stolen the Janus key and he's still looking for Mendicant Bias, but he's also trying to locate Dr. Halsey to get the other half of it to, access that information, that which would be information that Oni doesn't want just anybody to have. That's information that they would want to control.
I think the story is a little bit bigger than just the Janus key, but I have to think that plays a big role in it too.
Well, I mean, that's not the only part of the story, but that's maybe what initiates Oni sending Agent Locke after him. It's just a thought that just popped in my head. I guess I'll think about that a little bit further before I speak up on that thought again.
But we have a lot of threads, and we've talked about a lot of stuff, how Halo 5 can go from here on out. I think we've covered a lot of info already. But I want to take a little bit of time to talk about the Halo 5 multiplayer beta that we're going to have, because I think we've exhausted the campaign piece enough for today until we get some more information, which we're supposed to be getting a little more info about Nightfall at Comic-Con, I think. So hopefully
that's what I heard. Yeah.
So from the Halo 5 beta perspective, a lot of people were confused or had a lot of concerns about the naming of Spartan abilities instead of armor abilities. They did come out and say that they are not the same. That's not going to be the things that we remember, but it does kind of leave some questions as to what are Spartan abilities. And Eli, I think you're probably the most qualified here to talk about that. Like, what do you think they could do for Spartan abilities that sets it apart from some of the other stuff that we've had in Halo Reach and Halo 4 that could be not as detrimental or, from people's point of views, not as bad for the Halo franchise?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of ways to interpret it. I think two obvious ones are, one is that they won't be armor abilities that you can put into a loadout and just spawn with immediately, right? These could be, instead of like power weapons, they could be power abilities that are laid out on the map, and then one person has access to that power up, kind of like an invisibility or an overshield, but instead, you know, it gives you super strength or like a ground blast that takes out three guys around you, you know. They could do all sorts of cool stuff with that, like X-Men powers. You could have Cyclops laser vision. Like, I have no idea what they're going to do with it. So it could be, one, a pickup on the map, or two, it could be sort of like Destiny, where it's a super, right, that you pick this in your loadout, and then over time you have a meter that fills up. And as you get kills and assists, or as time passes, that meter slowly fills up. And then when you hit the tip of the meter, you know, you're full, you press a button, and then boom, you like do a ground pound, or you like shoot your Cyclops laser, you know, whatever that power is, whatever they want to put in the Halo sandbox, they now have powers that are given to the Spartans, you know, these Spartan abilities that load up over time. I don't know. Maybe.
That'd be interesting.
Maybe. I mean,
you're kind of the multiplayer experts here. So there was a
I'm not an expert.
You're the most qualified among us, I think.
Okay, if you say so. You should get like Strongside or one of those guys in here. I think they're a little more qualified.
We'll have them on soon enough.
Yeah.
There was some concern about seeing the sliding and then the ground pound thing in the trailer. Do you think those kind of things will be in there? I think sometimes those are just for visual flair. Especially that the trailer that we got, I don't know if those will be actual in-game functionality things.
I mean, we asked Bravo about mechanics like the double jump and the slide and all that, and he said, you know, oh, nothing's final, which is, you know, the answer that he has to give. But I think if they worked on that mechanic, then it will probably be in the game, right? It would be kind of silly to invest resources into that production and then not use it. So I think we can... I want to say those are in the game for sure, that we're going to have a slide mechanism, which will probably tie in with sprint, and we'll probably have those Spartan abilities like the ground pound, which is almost identical to Destiny, by the way. When you're the Titan class, that's exactly what the super is you're just running, and then boom, you punch the ground, and like everything around you in a 10-meter radius dies.
Well, it, you know, if you look at it that way, the slide's in Destiny as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I wonder if they're going to incorporate that into like a cover mechanism, but like, you know, in some of the third person shooters where, you know, you hide behind boxes, stuff like that. Or is it just going to be a game mechanic like sprint, where it's available for a short duration and then it has to recharge?
Yeah, I don't think we have enough information to say exactly what it is, but I mean, it has to be one of those two things, right? It has to be either something that comes in the loadout or something that gets activated while you're on the map. And I don't know which direction they're gonna go with it. Either way they do it, I mean, I'm always for map pickups, because then I think it's really cool to battle over these power-ups, and you can track who has them and when they can use them, depending on if it's on like a 3-minute cooldown or something like that. I would much prefer that. But even if they go the loadout method, I would hope that it would be balanced, that there's not one that's just completely broken, like armor lock or jetpack or camo, that completely ruins the multiplayer experience for people.
I'm honestly hoping they get rid of loadouts.
I'd be all for that, bro.
The way that it just kind of broke some of the leveling aspects of the Halo sandbox. No, just get rid of loadouts, please.
I think part of the core Halo experience is picking up weapons on the map and like exploring the map and using the map to your advantage. And once you give people loadouts, especially power weapons or Spartan abilities that are overpowerful, like, I think, yeah, that takes away from the fun of, and like what the maps mean. Like, the maps in Halo 4 don't mean anything. They're just big spaces and people just shoot on them. Whereas in Halo 1, 2, 3, and even Reach, the maps mattered. The design mattered. Where you put things mattered. Where I rushed in the beginning mattered. Not just for like having the, you know, map control from a like a shooting perspective, but also from a zone control perspective when the power ups were being timed. Sorry, did I just blow everybody's mind?
I'm just kind of thinking on that one a bit. I think I'll have to think about it a little bit more. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that, because it is very vague of what Spartan abilities actually means. I think, Eli, you kind of hit on some pretty interesting thoughts on it. And hopefully we'll see some more come out a little bit more down the road until before the beta comes out. It is a beta that's out 9 months before the game comes out, which is incredible. I think it's unprecedented at this point to have a beta out that early on in development.
For console, not for PC.
Well, yeah.
PC, they're like, hey, our game's coming out in 3 years. You want a beta test? Like, right on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way like every PC game ever was. Betas last forever, and then they just gently transition into the full game, like Smite just did recently. What were you gonna say, Todd?
The worst part of the beta is the fact that you have to wait 9 months to play it again.
Well, we were talking about how we were hoping that they would have multiple betas, and that this was just the first beta of many betas. Like, I'm hoping this is beta one, you know, beta alpha. And then there's a beta, and then a beta gamma.
All the betas.
All the Greek letters. Just give them to me.
I think what they're doing
is... Just have
a
beta for 2 weeks every month, right?
I would support that. I'll just alternate between that and Master Chief Collection anyways.
I think for the most part, what they're trying to do... And I remember talking to... I think it was Bravo about this. What they want to do is... Or maybe it was Bonnie that where she said something. They want to get feedback for the multiplayer experience, since that is something that is a big driver for Halo, and figure out what people are interested in, try out some new things there and see what people feel for it. And then if people don't like some of the things, so maybe it's a good chance for them to test out the Spartan abilities. And if people like them, they'll keep them. And if not, then they'll take them out.
Yeah. I can see them. Yeah. We were talking about why in the world would they have it 9 months prior to the game's announced release, and that's the key thing that you just touched on, is what if there's a game mechanic that's just so broken or so negatively impacts gameplay that the whole community says, get rid of this, right? Then they have 9 months of development time to actually completely modify the game and make it a much better experience from a full design perspective.
Yeah, they can do a complete rewrite on the multiplayer if necessary in that 9 months. I think it's a good idea to have it, you know, this far in advance, especially after all the trouble they had with the Halo 4 multiplayer. So it really makes me look forward to seeing the finished game, to see what they come up with in that 9 months as far as changes.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what comes out of that. I'm excited. I'm very happy to see them have a beta early on in the development cycle, because that means that they can take community feedback, which is something they've been touting since E3, is trying to get the community more involved with the process and just get them more involved, period, really.
I think they need a more active community side. Like, they need people on the forums, kind of like the Bungie Forum Ninjas, or, you know, even like those Riot guys that are just always there, like always responding, like 10,000 replies every 3 months, you know, like just crazy, like people whose jobs are to communicate with the community. I feel like, you know, we have these events and we do get lucky that we get to interact with 343, and they do host some fantastic community events, and they do a lot of wonderful things for the community. But I do wish that ongoing back and forth communication was present, because I don't think it currently is.
I agree. There's lots of room for improvements from the community standpoint. It is good to see them make some changes to how they are treating the community, though. And I mean, I'm only one example, but Bravo said to me the reason why he got some of the community people out there was because they do want to get the community more involved. There are certain things, though, that they have to change with the way they interact from a public perspective, and how they interact on the forums, and how they kind of release some of the information that I think needs to change to highlight the community a little bit more, and to show that, yes, we are involved and invested in what you guys think of our games.
Preach it, brother.
Thanks, man. So I think that's going to wrap it up. It's been a great show. I'm really excited for Halo 5. The Halo 5 beta is going to be coming out December of this year. To see what's going to happen with Agent Locke and Master Chief's journey is going to be interesting as well. So thank you guys for coming on this little ride of ours for Halo 5. We're going to be discussing this more, I'm sure, as they show off stuff at RTX and San Diego Comic-Con. And, of course, when Halo the Master Chief Collection comes out, we can watch Nightfall and really dive into the additional content that we'll get for Halo 5. I'm excited. It's going to be a very, very good journey, I think, for Master Chief. And to be a part of that and to see what he's going to be doing down the road is going to be very interesting.
Hype, 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 hype.
Indeed. So much hype.
Bouncy, 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 bouncy.
Oh, gosh. So thank you guys for listening. Godzilla Todd, Nick and Eli, thank you. And Dan left already. He had to go. So huge shout outs to him for coming and talking about his crazy theories, which have come true mostly, at least for the Agent Locke thing, as it seems. Make sure you check these guys out. Naked Eli is at Naked Eli on Twitter. That's NAK3D Eli. And you can check
out his Naked Halo, my Twitter handle, bro.
Oh.
Yeah. I should have made it Naked Eli, but it looks like NAK3 Deli. So I was like, nah, let's do Naked Halo.
Okay. So he's Naked Halo on Twitter and YouTube. And that's still NAK3D. And of course, you can check Dan out. He's at Green Skull on Twitter, and he's over there on Ready Up Live. And Godzilla Todd, who's one of our community peeps now, the official event coordinator for Podtacular. So make sure you check him out and give him a shout out in the forums. Also, check out our podcasting network. We're part of the podcast. That's thepodcast.com. Check out the other shows on the network like Guardian Radio, the Destiny Podcast, Critzcast, the TF2 podcast, Reachcast, which is the Planet Side 2 podcast, and How to Murder Time, which is kind of everything else. Make sure you check out our Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, our newly made Instagram. We have some pictures there from E3 that you can go check out. And stay tuned for some interesting updates coming to the website. We're going to be posting some new user avatars that you can use from all the Halo 5 stuff and the Halo anniversary stuff that you can use, and there'll be some other updates to the site coming soon as well. And
you got anything else?
I think that pretty much covers it for tonight.
The longest promo I've ever heard.
Oh, and if you are pre-ordering the Master Chief Collection, make sure you go to the homepage on our website, podtacular.com, and there's a widget on the right. You can use our Amazon affiliate link and go and get your copy, and we get a small portion of that back as well. Support Podtacular, support Halo, go do it.
I did.
Yeah, yay. I will.
Awesome. Thank you guys again for being on the show. Thank you for our live listeners who listen to us on Twitch. I think we maxed out at 25 today, which is awesome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, guys, if you are available, Thursdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, be there, join the discussions. And until next time, keep on fragging Oni.
Yeah.